This is Cicely Tyson.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of the Almighty to join these two in holy matrimony. Do you, Laura Lucille LaSalle, take...
Just a minute. This is not the beginning of our story. Not that Laura LaSalle wouldn't like it to be. Laura fancies weddings all right, particularly one of her own. But the mere idea also scares the wits out of her. Now, this is more like it. We're much more apt to find our heroine at a cocktail party. The first to arrive and the last to leave. As you can imagine, there's nothing left of this party but the memory. The stale smell of tobacco, the overflowing ashtrays, the lipstick-stained cigarettes in the leftover guacamole dip, and discarded a coaster on the bar, an expensive pair of false eyelashes. In the early morning hours, when the party wanes into some old Sinatra records and one more for the road, as someone else might slip off her shoes, it's Laura's habit to peel off her false eyelashes, to give them a rest from the fluttering, the flirting, the pretense. She squints across the bar at her face in the mirror. Without her lashes, her eyes look small, far away, lost. It's time, she reminds the girl in the mirror, to wipe that painted smile off your face. Put your happy eyes away. Say goodnight and go home to your own swinging singles. The party's over. And now, our story has begun.
Mutual Radio Theater. A new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, For the Love of Laura, by Shirley Gordon. Our star, Janet Waldo.
It's the morning after. High noon, to be exact. When Laura finally rouses herself out of her drugged sleep, but of course she needed that sleeping pill, and gradually brings the memory of last night into focus. She was sitting at the bar, watching the party die around her, until finally everyone else had gone home, and Richard had come to sit on the bar stool beside her. That's when she'd asked him to marry her.
Did I really? Are you sure? Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Laura, you okay?
Why? Do I look like I'm not?
You look tired, that's all.
It's my eyelashes. I look like I don't have any eyes when I take off my lashes.
Not true. You have beautiful eyes.
Oh, Richard, you're always so gallant. So old world. Even at 4 o'clock in the morning when you'd like to close the bar and kick me out. Instead, you tell me I have beautiful eyes.
You do. However, it would be nice if about now you took them home and put them to sleep.
Are you always like this?
Like what?
So unruffled.
I suppose so. What's to get ruffled about?
You know what you are.
What?
You... By the eye of my hurricane, I'd like to take refuge in your calm center forever. Oh, dear me. What I mean is, you're always so pleasant to be with, Richard. Are you always so pleasant to be with?
You just said I was.
I knew. I said that, but I mean, always. I've never been with you, always.
No, that's true.
Never before the cocktail hour, really. How are you in the mornings? Of course, that doesn't really matter because I generally sleep till noon myself.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm uncommonly good-humored in the morning.
You see, that's what I mean. You're a prize, Richard. Really, you are. I'm surprised someone hasn't snapped you up by now.
Marriage, you mean?
Yes. Well, marriage. Why don't we get married, Richard?
You mean you and I? To each other?
That is the way it works.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Maddening. Of course, that's the way Richard would answer. Making a fictional supposition of my proposal as though we were talking about a book we'd read or a movie we'd seen. Suppose at this point in the story, the man and the woman got married. Well, after all, Richard is a writer. He always looks at things that way. At least he hadn't laughed in my face. I don't think. Anyway, Richard Robert Fairgate, you needn't feel so smug. You're not the only man I ever asked to marry me. There was Morty, for instance. I don't think any man ever had my interest at heart as much as Morty did. Of course, as my agent, his interest may have been in his pocketbook as much as his heart. But all the same, Morty really cared about me, in his fashion.
Gesundheit. You catching cold?
I don't think so. One sneeze a cold doesn't make.
This dressing room is too drafty. I'm going to speak to the management.
Oh, Morty, darling, you're sweet to be concerned, but the dressing room is fine. We don't want to get a reputation for being temperamental, do we?
Better they think you're temperamental than you catch your death and they cancel you.
Oh.
There goes our percentage of the gross.
The thing about Morty was he was always there, holding my hand day and night. So it was only logical, it seemed to me, that we should get married, I mean.
Married? You and me? What for? We're together all the time anyway.
Lucky for me, I guess. That logic works both ways. Because, of course, I immediately reconsidered. I mean, what would it be like actually being married to Morty, slumping around the house all day with his nose in the Hollywood Reporter? Pass me the cream cheese, will you, darling? Morty?
Hmm?
The cream cheese?
What's wrong with it? Tastes fine to me.
I haven't had any yet. It's over on your side of the table. Would you pass it, please?
Oh, sure. Here. On second thought, maybe you better skip the cream cheese. I notice you've been getting a little thick around the middle lately.
Maybe I'm pregnant.
You have that TV special coming up next month, and the camera adds 10 pounds, you know.
So does a baby.
Baby? What baby?
Ours. If we're having one.
What are you talking about? We're not going to have a baby.
Why not? Because it doesn't say so in the Hollywood Reporter?
Who's had a chance to read what it says in the Hollywood Reporter with all this conversation?
I only asked you to pass me the cream cheese. Anyway, don't you ever read a regular newspaper? Don't you ever get curious about what's going on in the real world?
Whatever's going on, sooner or later they'll make it into a movie.
In Morty's book, marriages were definitely made in Hollywood, not heaven. Anyway, I guess my bringing up the subject scared him off, because right after that, he gave up being my agent to go on the road with a punk rock band who called themselves the Five Chimps, because that's what they were.
Yes, Laura. You did ask Richard to marry you last night. And in the cold gray light of the morning after, you're trying to remember what happened after that. Did he take you seriously? For that matter, how serious were you?
Oh, fuzz. My eyelashes. I must have left them over at Richard's, probably in the bar. I'll have to call him. They're my best pair. Cost me a bloody fortune. Suppose Richard brings up my asking him to marry me. Suppose it turns out he's interested. I mean, why shouldn't he be? Michael was. Michael. Of course I once asked Michael to marry me. What girl wouldn't? He was so handsome, with that absolutely heavenly body. Michael, darling, would you mind very much if I had you cast in bronze so I could take you home and put you on my mantelpiece?
Feel free, baby.
Oh, on second thought, that would be a criminal waste of natural resources. I'd much rather keep you just as you are. Somehow, darling, I don't see you as a dust catcher.
Right on.
Michael wasn't exactly a scintillating conversationalist. And what would it be like living with that mindless, heavenly body of his 24 hours a day? Fortunately, I suppose, I stopped to think about that. Michael!
996!
Michael!
997! 998! 999!
Bingo! Do you feel strong enough to answer me now?
Huh?
I was calling you.
Oh, you was?
I were.
You want me for something?
That was the general idea.
Hey, you want me, you got me, baby.
Yes, I know.
So? What'd you want me for?
I can't imagine.
Oh. Well, if you think of anything, you let me know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Suddenly,
7,
I couldn't think of a thing except...
8, 9, 10.
You're out. Michael somehow faded away with my summer tan, along with Steve. Steve in his sour golf socks. I can't believe I actually considered marrying him. But I did. It was just that he seemed so masterful with a 9-iron in his hand. Darling, when you hit a golf ball, it's sheer poetry. When I hit one, it's a bad joke.
Don't worry, babe. Before you know it, you'll be queen of the greens. You just put yourself in my hands.
I'd love to. Your hands are so big and strong.
Here, let me put my arms around you, and I'll show you how to swing.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's nothing more stimulating than taking lessons from a pro. So, of course, one thing led to another, and by the time we'd made it to the 18th hole... Darling, you've convinced me. Golf is my game. From now on, you'll never catch me without a club in my hand.
Beautiful. That puts you right in my bag.
How cozy. Oh, sounds like heaven to be carried around the rest of my life on a strong man's back.
You're looking at one, babe.
I have to admit it was tempting to give up being the mad young thing about town to become some regular guy like Steve's little missus. But what would he be like off the golf course? I remembered asking myself. The answer was obvious. He'd never be off the golf course.
Oh. Good morning, sweetheart. Up and at 'em.
Up and at... what?
Move that cute little derriere of yours, darling. We're due at the first tea.
Make mine coffee. Black.
Come on, sugar babe. Rise and shine. Ah, there goes the snooze alarm. Time's a-wasting.
Steve, you set the alarm clock on our honeymoon?
Well, we want to beat the crowd, don't we? I signed us up for a 6 a.m. starting time.
Darling, I wouldn't think of starting anything at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Now, put your kidding around, sugar babe. We're scheduled to tee off in about 12 minutes.
I am not kidding around, sugar babe, and I'm already as teed off as you better hope I'll ever be. Thinking back on Steve and Michael and Morty certainly makes Richard all the more appealing. But then there was also Bernie. As I recall... Bernie was flawless. I wonder why I didn't marry him. What a perfect evening. I wish it could go on forever.
That makes two of us.
I suppose it could. Go on forever, that is, if we both really want it to.
You mean...
why not?
I'll have to think about that.
Don't let me stop you, darling. What is it? What are you thinking?
Did you ever hear the one about the Peruvian fella who fell in love with an Eskimo girl? And they went to a Finnish...
Well, not exactly flawless.
So then, Laura, the thought of all your past near misses makes Richard seem all the more appealing.
Despite all his messy pipe leavings, one can at least carry on a civilized conversation with Richard. Too civilized, perhaps. While Michael was all brawn and no brain, Richard is... I wonder if he ever takes off his glasses. Darling. It's late. Aren't you coming to bed?
Well, I'm not tired.
Good. That makes two of us. Come along, darling. I've put new satin sheets on the bed.
Satin sheets?
Mm-hmm.
A red and white check tablecloth would be more appropriate.
Oh, darling, you're so amusing. Come to bed.
I've only just gotten to the middle of my first chapter.
You're not planning to write the whole book before you come to bed, are you?
Now, once I get an idea in my head, I like to follow through on it.
So do I.
Look, dear, why don't you go to sleep? And when I finish this up, I'll just bunk here on the couch so I won't disturb you.
I can't tell you how that would disturb me.
Well, then why don't you get up and give me a cup of nice hot coffee?
Why not? I'm not doing anyone any good lying here. Yes, Richard and his cerebral personality might wear a little thin. Let's hope he didn't take me seriously last night. Maybe I'd better try and avoid him for a while, just in case. But, oh, fuzz, my eyelashes. I couldn't bear it if he emptied them out with the dirty ashtrays. I'll have to risk it.
Fairgate here.
Richard, darling, it's Laura.
Laura, well, you're up early, aren't you? Early for you, that is.
I hope I'm not interrupting your work, Richard.
It's all right. I was only doing some thinking.
Yes, of course. Well, this will only take a minute. I'm just calling about
my... Matter of fact, I was thinking about us.
Us?
You proposed to me last night. That is, early this morning. Remember?
That's another thing about you, Richard. You're always sober, no matter how many drinks you've had.
It's a gift. In any event, Laura, dear, I've decided it's inconceivable.
What is?
You and me in holy wedlock.
You decided?
Well, you put the question to me. I figured I owed you an answer.
What do you mean, it's inconceivable?
Being married to you. I'm afraid I couldn't hack it.
You couldn't hack being married to me?
Oh, not that you aren't amusing to be with, Laura, dear, but all the time, night and day. My dear Laura, you're not that amusing.
Well, really, Richard, you're not exactly a floor show yourself, you know.
Oh, Laura, my dear, I don't want you to feel hurt.
Hurt? Oh, don't be silly. Anyway, you couldn't have actually thought that I was actually serious about this whole thing.
You weren't?
Of course not.
Well, then. No harm done, right?
Right.
See you soon for cocktails?
Beautiful. No harm done. Just a little wounded pride, that's all. After all, Richard is the only one to flatly refuse my proposal of marriage. I never really gave the others a chance. I wonder what would happen if I did.
Laura, what a nice surprise.
Oh, Lordy, darling, it's been ages.
Couple of months at least. What brings you here? I didn't know you went in for punk rock.
I don't, but I'm fascinated by chimpanzees. Particularly ones who can play the electric guitar.
Yeah, check out the one on the bull fiddle. He ain't bad either.
Not my type. Too much hair. Matter of fact, could we find someplace a little quieter so we can talk?
Oh, sure. We can use the boys' dressing room. They won't mind. In here. Talk about what?
This is a nicer dressing room than you ever managed to get for me.
Well, when you've got five chimps behind you, it's called clout. So what do you want to talk about?
Us. Morty, darling, I've missed you.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, you ain't the only one.
You mean you've missed me, too?
Baby, right this minute, you look like $1,000,000 to me.
Oh, considering I'm wearing my best mink, I should think I'd have the edge over a chimp.
You better believe it. So what do you have in mind? You and me resuming our old business arrangement? I sell, you deliver?
Morty, remember just before you went on the road with your King Kong Gong show, I suggested we might get together under a more permanent arrangement?
You mean that we should get hitched, legitimate-like. Sure, I remember.
Well, I didn't mean to scare you out of town with the idea, darling. You could have given me a simple no. I'd have understood. After all, looking after my professional interests was a full-time job in itself, as you said.
Yeah. Well, it's what I said then, but I've changed my mind. You had the right idea, baby. Let's make it legitimate.
This time, it was my turn to be scared out of town. To the beach, to clear the nightclub smoke out of my lungs and bask in the sunbeams bouncing off Michael's gleaming, suntanned pectorals.
Hey! Lori, girl! Long time no see.
Michael, darling. Oh, you're even bigger and browner than I remembered.
The sea air works wonders, so they say.
So they do. Yeah. It must get kind of lonely for you, though, living way out here all by yourself, with only Jonathan Livingston Seagull to keep you company.
Yeah, right on, baby. You got any ideas?
Nothing that would interest a free spirit like you, darling.
You try me.
But matrimony is such an old-fashioned word.
You got me wrong, sweetie.
That's what I thought.
I'm just your everyday old-fashioned guy. The kind any girl would love to take home to meet her mother.
Oh, my mother would love to meet you, darling.
Oh, then it's settled. All we have to do now is name the day.
Right on. I'll call you, darling. I'll have to go home and check my calendar. Well, Richard, it appears you are in the minority. Other men don't seem to be put off by the prospect of spending the rest of their lives in my amusing company. Morty, Michael, and just to further prove my point... Steve! Oh, Steve, darling! Still in beautiful form, I see.
Likewise, sugar babe. Hey, where you been keeping yourself? I thought I'd lost you in the rough somewhere.
I'm not as easy to lose as a golf ball, darling.
I'll drink to that, if you'll join me.
Perfect. Matter of fact, I've just been getting in the mood to become a joiner.
Great, let's go. You know, as soon as we have a drink, I'll get you a membership blank and show you where the locker rooms are.
Steve, darling, I had something else in mind besides joining your precious golf club.
You mean you and me tying the old knot? But that's all the better. As my wife, the club will give you a discount.
You see, Richard, every other man I know is eager to marry me. Of course, there's Bernie, too.
I must admit, Laura, I was beginning to wonder if I was ever going to see you again. Every time I've tried to call you lately, I've gotten your answering service.
Oh, sorry, Bernie, darling. I've been swamped. But now, at last, I'm all yours.
You mean that?
If I do?
Oh, you'd make me a very happy man.
You don't have to be hysterically happy.
Oh, I just thought of the one about the Paraguayan who propositioned a Latvian. You see, they were both fatso.
You see, Richard, what did I tell you? Bernie, too. That leaves you the only holdout, darling. And it puts me and my wounded pride right back where I started. Are you the one I think I want just because you're playing hardest to get? Hello?
Laura, Richard here.
Oh, Richard, darling, I was just thinking of you.
Not too unkindly, I hope. Because I've been having some second thoughts myself.
Second thoughts?
About us. Who knows, Laura, dear? We might make a go of it at that.
You mean you've changed your mind? You're saying yes?
Yes. Laura? think?
I think I better have a few second thoughts myself.
Cicely Tyson again, and here's the fourth act of For the Love of Laura.
Leave it to Richard to spoil the fun. Now that I can have any one of them I want, who needs them? You do, Laura. Look at yourself in the mirror again, without your false eyelashes. No wonder you keep hanging on after the party's over. Who wants to go home alone? So, what if Richard's a little bookish? Or if Michael has fried his brain staying out in the sun too long? What does it really matter if Morty's hung up on show business, or if Steve thinks life begins and ends on a golf course, or if Bernie sees it as one big racist joke? Maybe it is. Nobody's perfect, right? You're not actually expecting Robert Redford to ride up in a white Mercedes, are you? It would be a nice, cozy feeling, having a man's bathrobe hanging on the back of your bathroom door permanently, wouldn't it? The only question is, whose initials do I want to have embroidered on the pocket? Richard? So he's a little preoccupied with words, particularly his own. Being a writer also means he's sensitive, romantic, understands women. Richard could be the ideal husband.
Laura, darling, you all right?
Lovely. It was a beautiful party. And I'm glad everyone has finally gone home.
So am I.
I can take off my eyelashes and relax.
You don't need those. You're beautiful just as you are. A woman is beautiful when she's loved.
Claude Rains to Betty Davis in Mr. Skeffington.
It's true, all the same. You're beautiful, and you're loved.
Oh, Richard, darling.
And I remember when you used to call everybody darling.
Now it's no longer an empty word, thanks to you.
Giving meaning to words is my business.
I used to think it would be dreadful being married to a writer. I thought you'd always have your mind on your work and never have any time for me.
A writer can't simply sit down and write. He has to get ideas. And, sweetheart, you give me ideas.
And your work will never come between us?
My work will never be more important to me than you are.
And I need never feel jealous of the women you make love to on your typewriter?
Never, Laura, dear. Never. There's no woman of literature or legend who can compare to you. You are my Desdemona, my Galatea, my Cleopatra, my Scarlett O'Hara, my Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm.
Oh, Richard, marrying you has made me the happiest girl in the world. Would it, Richard? Are you the one? I wonder. After all, Morty knows me better, and looking after me is practically second nature with him. He's loyal, thoughtful, protective? Yes, Morty could be the ideal husband.
You sure you're warm enough, baby?
Toasty.
You want me to get up and get you another blanket?
No. Oh, no, darling. I'm fine.
The fire's getting low. Maybe I better put on a little lard.
Oh, darling. We don't need a fire to keep us warm.
You said it, though.
Funny. You know, I always used to think your only interest in me was professional.
I always tried to keep my mind on my job where you were concerned, baby. But let me tell you, it wasn't always easy.
Oh, I thought the only thing you ever had on your mind was show business.
There's no business like it. But it's not what makes the old world go round, you know what I mean? This is it, baby. What you and I have found together.
And you'd still love me as much as ever, even if I gave up my career?
Whatever you want, baby, is absolutely oak with me.
And you'll never leave me To hitch your wagon to another star?
No, sweetheart. You're the only star I want shining in my blue heaven. You're my Garbo, my Dietrich, my Marilyn Monroe, my Shirley Temple.
Oh, Morty, marrying you has made me the happiest girl in the world. Maybe it is you, Morty. Maybe you are the one. Oh, but how can I be sure? As long as I still get goosebumps every time I think about Michael. If he looks that beautiful in a pair of swim trunks, imagine what he would look like in a tuxedo at our wedding. Oh, he's so healthy and tan and as devoted as a lap dog. It's true. Michael could be the ideal husband. Oh. Oh, what a glorious day.
Hey, Lori, girl. You know, you're getting in great shape. You'll out-swim and out-jog me yet.
Oh, I feel marvelous. All the sun and surf and sea air makes my soul sing.
Oh, right on, baby. Oh,
and to think I used to look for the answers in crowded, smoke-filled rooms.
Oh, little Laura. My poor little lost lamb.
Oh, Michael. My big, strong lifesaver. Oh, you did save my life, darling. I was drowning in my sea of regrets, and you swam out and rescued me.
Well, you were just off on the wrong foot, baby. A fancy mink coat and cocktail bars ain't where it's at.
Oh, right on. Oh, Michael, will it always be like this for us, clean and simple and beautiful?
Always.
Just you and me, and the sun and the sand and the sea.
And the seagulls and pelicans and sandpipers. The starfish and sea urchins and Portuguese men of war. And the crabs and the shrimp and the barnacles.
Oh, Michael, marrying you has made me the happiest girl in the world. It could be idyllic, couldn't it, Michael? Maybe you're the one after all. But then, Steve is the outdoor type, too, and he's so pro, so masterful, so macho. Steve was probably made to be the ideal husband.
Beautiful, babe. I couldn't have hit it any cleaner myself.
Well, you showed me how, darling.
And I'm going to show you how simple it can be to find happiness. Simple as sinking this little white ball in that little old hole over there.
I didn't used to be able to do either sink the ball or find happiness until I took lessons from my pro, Steve, darling.
Stick around, sugar babe. I'll teach you everything you'll ever want to know. You're my birdie, my eagle, my double eagle, my national open championship.
Oh, Steve, marrying you has made me the happiest girl in the world. Maybe you could do more than improve my golf game, Steve, darling. Maybe you're the one. Unless... Bernie? Why not? He's tall, dark, and handsome. The perfect escort. So why not the ideal husband?
Tired?
A little. But it's been a perfect honeymoon trip so far.
Well, you just cuddle up and rest your head on my shoulder. We'll be there soon.
No hurry. I'm perfectly comfortable now.
Just a few more miles, then wait till you see a perfect spot to wind up our honeymoon.
Sounds perfect.
Sweetheart, you asleep? I just thought of another good one.
Oh, really, darling? Tell me.
Well, there was this Arab who married a Puerto Rican chick, you see.
Uh-huh.
And for their honeymoon,
yeah,
they took this trip to China.
Yes, darling, go on.
Oh, no wonder I married you, sweetheart. You're always the perfect audience.
Oh, darling, you're always so amusing.
Well, wait till you hear this one.
Uh-huh.
It's even better than the one about the two Romanians, remember?
Oh, how could I forget?
Or the one about the Italian Count,
uh-huh,
and the Irish Colleen. Or the Tennessee hillbilly who tried to bulldog a Texas steer.
Oh, Bernie, marrying you has made me the happiest girl in the world. Life with Bernie could be laughs. Yes, darling, you might even be the one. One of you has to be. If you don't take the step now, Laura, my girl, you never will. So, where does your happiness lie? With Richard? Morty? Michael? Steve? Or Bernie? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and one to grow on. But which one?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of the Almighty to join these two in holy matrimony. Do you, Laura Lucille LaSalle, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love and to cherish till death do you part?
I do.
And do you...
Hold it, Reverend darling. Before you say the name of the lucky man, perhaps I'd better explain. You see, what I had to do was carefully separate fantasy from reality.
You have beautiful eyes.
Fantasy.
My dear Laura, you're not that amusing.
Reality.
I'm just your everyday old-fashioned guy.
Fantasy.
You want me, you got me, baby.
Reality.
We'll follow the sun together, you and me.
Fantasy.
Good morning, sweetheart. Up and at 'em.
Reality.
You just cuddle up and rest your head on my shoulder.
Fantasy.
Did you ever hear the one about...
Reality.
Whatever you want, baby, is absolutely oak with me.
Fantasy.
There goes our percentage of the gross.
Reality. Morty. Imperfection personified. Couldn't hit a golf ball with a tennis racket. Wouldn't be caught dead on a surfboard. Looks like a penguin in a tuxedo. Neither brains nor brawn to brag of, but, Morton, you are as comfortable as an old pair of shoes. The kind you like to slip into after the party's over. Carry on, Reverend darling.
And do you, Morton Leroy Webner, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love and to cherish?
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, For the Love of Laura, was written by Shirley Gorton and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our star was Janet Waldo. Featured in the cast were Mike Miner, Shepard Mencken, Lou Horn, Barney Phillips, and Vic Perrin. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.